Spotlight. It's a monthly podcast spotlighting street roots poets as well as maybe some less known poets here in Portland. I'm kind of doing this in the interest of keeping Portland weird. And our first guest today is Eileen McPherson. Hi, Eileen. How are you doing this morning?
It's good to be here, Jason. Thank you.
Well, I can't wait to get started. Can we hear one of your wonderful poems, please?
Not a problem. It's called One Memory. It's hard to choose one memory out of so many, so few. Which one? Past? Loves? Loss? Children playing? Tempers? Fanning campfires? Holidays crossed? Boundaries? Found blessings? Learning? Memories categorized? Spring, peaceful retrospection, lessons, recognize old drills no longer, terrorizing a mindful will, power, courage to me, strength to you, hope, change our future, we bring unity, represent, serenity defines the calm, knowledge, mind, choose, your words have power, making, new memories, changing history.
Wow.
Thank you. I don't know what else to say, but thank you.
You're welcome. So, what are some of your interests?
I have many. You want artistic or everything? Which kind of combines both. I have a wide range of music interests. And all of my interests, in a way, contribute to how and why I write.
So, why and how of what you write, a lot of it. Because I listen to lots of varied music, too. And it helps me sometimes to put on a different kind of music to write a different kind of poem or whatnot. Because there's a lot of energy that happens with music.
I agree. One of my current favorites is by S.J. Tucker. It's called Cheshire Kitten. It resonates with me pretty deeply in multiple ways. But the one thing I like about it most, it's towards the end. She says, the truth comes down in riddles that are safe enough to share. And that's true with music and poetry.
Yes. Yes. I agree. Could we hear another one of your poems?
Let's try, hey, what we're not doing, television.
Oh, cool.
Except this one is called Tell Me Vision. It's the magic picture box in the living room. They call it a Tell Me Vision. All sorts of people live there with lots of stories to tell, but mostly they sell, sell, sell. That's when they yell. It never fails how much they wail. Buy my stuff. It's on sale. You want it now. Ask yourself, can I live without it, and how? No, you say, I must buy it today. It's grand, it's new, I must have it before any of you. So I see my family sitting and eating in front of the TV, watching stories of dramas old, horrors bold, histories retold, and news cold. Matters not, it's all rot. Nothing's real, it's all zeal, just lots of random entertainment to go with a meal. And so they appeal to all they can, with a flashy smile and a waving hand. Emulate us, and your life will be as grand. It's all lies, can't they understand? It is not grand, just an entertaining scam.
Thank you. That's also a lot to, like our state in America of commercialism and...
Oh, yeah.
I
when you grow up, and you grew up in the same time frame where listening, if you've heard television, where every commercial, your show, you have to turn it up almost completely ridiculously loud. And then the minute the commercials come on, it's just like, shut it off, shut it off, shut it off. Yeah. Radio doesn't do that. Radio, I don't think, has ever really done that.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
It's like consistent or whatnot. It's like that old friend.
Mm-hmm.
What would you be listening to if you're at home on a Saturday or on the radio? Or...
depends. If I'm listening to the radio, it's either going to be KBOO, allclassical.org, or OPB. There's not much else I listen to. I don't have very many rock and roll stations anymore that I have a lot of stuff I listen to, but a lot of it's not new.
Yeah.
So, and those meet most of my needs. Or it's just the random collection of everything from Mozart to Chuck Berry, Fats Domino, Will Smith. I have so many different interests. I actually did write a poem about that because somebody wanted to know what I was listening to. So if you want, I can read that one too.
Let's have at it.
They asked, "What are you listening to?" My heart skips a beat when the music hits my feet. I can't help to sway, swirl, twist, tap, and curl around the world, sun to moon. Stars shine bright while composers set pages aflame, uniting words and sound. So many sounds have captured my heart, my life, my body through rhythms, tones, gentle hand pans, soft to thundering drums. Flutes sing on the breeze while sorrowful cellos intertwine pianos, harps and guitars, where sultry solos, devilish duos, big bands that swing, classical choirs, tribal, techno, gothic darkness, happiness, sadness, and everything in between. I am a character inspired by all of these, helping me to be free and reducing anxiety. It's not for you. This music is a part of me, soothing my soul, emotionally embracing my heart, speaking through my body. I become the music, telling a lyrical story. One day I was asked to share my songs, and so when able, I did. A while later, artists were shared, which continues to this day. These songs are another of my voices. Some are instrumentals, others speaking out. I have so many choices.
Wow, I like the idea of choices.
I'm still getting used to having those.
It's kind of a... different on some level as being a street roots vendor. Your choices sometimes are really limited. So it's nice when you are able to work yourself up and have more choices again.
I concur. Yeah. Well, it's like I've been asked multiple times why I write. I mean, Leo's an advocate and other people just write for the sake of writing. They've done it all their lives. I have and haven't written all my life because I wasn't allowed to as a child. Wasn't allowed to keep a diary or anything else like that. So when I did finally start writing, it was just, it's personal. It was to heal. It still is. I don't write for anybody except for me. What comes out is from the heart, from the soul. It's clearing the cobwebs. It's emptying the attic. It's making way for getting rid of the old and making way for the new. Categorizing memories and getting rid of them, basically. Yeah. Making take so they don't take up space.
Yeah. Making so like making space for the new things to happen.
Yeah.
I like that. Take a little break for a second. Welcome back. Once again, this is Street Roots Poet Spotlight, and we're here with Eileen McPherson. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about where you're from and a little bit more about your history.
Well, I was born in Shreveport, Louisiana. I've lived all over the U.S. I can't even think how many cities, and I've been from the southeast to the northeast. Well, no, I've never lived in the northeast. I've lived all down south and the west coast, midwest. And some of that has probably affected how I've learned things because of all the different areas I've been. Being down south, you learn a totally different language than being up, say, in Montana, where I lived for a while. I have been told I have so many different dialects. It's kind of interesting.
You're from Montana, huh?
Originally from Shreveport, Louisiana. I've lived in Dallas, Texas, Denver, Colorado, Orlando, Florida, Bullhead City, Arizona, up to Washington State, where I lived in Bellevue, Redmond, and Kirkland, all right outside of Seattle, over to Billings, Montana, and then in Montana, I lived also in Lewistown and Great Falls.
Cool.
I've also lived in Las Vegas, Nevada, Killeen, Houston, Pearland, Fresno. All of those are in Texas.
Right on.
And Oregon has been the last place I've settled. And I've lived in Salem and here in Portland.
For how long?
I've been in Portland since November of 2014.
Cool. I've been up here since 2015. I'm from Utah, a small place up in northern Utah. Lived there for about 45 years. 100 miles or so at the same spot. Came up in 2015. Right off the bat, I started selling street roots. Gives me that little bit extra income, and money is status in this world, so it gives you a little bit of buying power or whatnot.
It was actually not long after we got to Portland. We are currently again staying in Digny Village, but we were staying at Digny Village when we got here, and it was a street roots vendor named John who actually introduced us to the paper not long after my husband Charles and I starting with the paper. I started going to the creative writing classes that are every Wednesday at 9:15 in the morning at the paper, and I've been writing with the paper ever since. It's the first place I've ever received a financial gain for my work.
That's nice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's very nice.
It feels good when you have a poem in the paper because you have that extra bit of self-confidence in the world or whatnot.
Yes. Yeah. And for me, that's been, with my past, it's been difficult because I'm learning how to say thank you every time I receive a compliment about how nice or good my work is. That's, when you don't grow up with that, that's a big thing. It's a really big thing.
So you told me that you were in Digny Village. I, too, lived in a village. I was in Hazelnut Grove for about 18 months. Do you have anything you'd like to share about village life or... Because I know if it hadn't been for Hazelnut Grove, I probably wouldn't be able to be sitting in this booth right now. It's kind of a game changer for me.
Yeah, the villages are... Digny Village is really awesome. It is its own entity. It's a 501c3 that was created by the homeless and is still run by the homeless. It is not affiliated with any organization. It works with organizations like Join and other places, but it has no affiliation with them. They are their own standalone organization.
Yeah.
So they've got 42, 43 small structures out there currently. They can house up to 60 people. I believe that is with the warming shelter. We do the village does also different forms of outreach. I mean, we've got dog food and cat food that comes in, so we can take care of needs of that. If somebody has them, we can get that donated out. The village gets clothing. There's a shower for use. There's the warming shelter in the winter, the cooling shelter in the summer. There's always, if you need firewood, we have an awesome firewood selection out there. Everything from wheelbarrow loads to full cords. It's one of the awesomeness. And then I'm trying to help work out a way that we can do artistic forms of sales as well. There's a lot of different people who do different art forms out there, and I'd like to find a way to make it happen so they can sell their work. As a creator and artist, I'm always trying to sell my artwork, not because I'm not just a poet.
Yeah.
And the village has given so much to me and others. I want to give back. And being able to help, because wood sales, okay, part of the money from wood sales actually goes back to the village, not just to keep the wood sale department going, but it goes into paying the bills. They get no unless they sign for a grant or something, they get no federal money. They take care of all of their bills.
Yeah.
Their water, their sewage, their everything is paid for by the village. So everything, when we make sales on anything,
goes back into the village.
Yep.
I like how it's basically a non-profit.
It is.
Run by homeless people, for homeless people, that's in little micro business ventures.
Mm-hmm.
To help sustain itself.
Yep.
To where it's not only able to take care of itself, but it's able to help other people as well.
Currently, the best thing that could happen for the village is it get on its own property or be able to take over the full property it's on, which that's possible, maybe not possible, but yeah. There's a lot of good that place does.
Yes. Can we have some more of your poetry?
Yeah, actually, this is one that you kind of reminded me during the break. You said we were having some squirrel thoughts. Well, I like fluffy tails.
Me too.
And I've had a couple people, some friends, who keep telling me they love this poem. So I figure when I can tell them that this podcast is going on, they get to hear it. It's called Falling Leaves. And yes, it's about autumn. So, and a little bit about this. I was actually having a very rough morning when this poem came about. And everything I saw help me to make that day better. So this is called Falling Leaves. Bleak are the hollows of autumn, where births and deaths intertwine. Memories steeped black pekoe orange, ages ago it seems. Sorrowful dreams no longer seen. Tears as leaves falling, falling, fallen. Blanket the ground, crunching, crackling. Slippery slope, lost footing, growing dawn. Golden halo, purple tides, crisp, brisk. Beauty in the mist, fluffy tails, acorn hails. Concerning complaints utilizes strengths, courage. Amidst the chaos, phoenix flies, consumed. Dies in the autumn to arise in the spring.
With spring coming on, do you have anything happening here in the near future?
I have a lot of different things going on currently. Between writing new poetry, I am working on my own projects of painting in my own time, but also I'm working with Dana Lewis, who is the founder of Gather Make Shelter. And she started this idea it came about that she created pottery, and then she gathered potters together and painters. And the potters created bowls and things like that, and then she gathered together all the painters were homeless. They came from street roots. They came from Maybale. I can't remember everything. But GatherMakeShelter.org or GatherMakeShelter on Facebook, you can connect with Dana and all the information. I will be continuing on as one of the painters. We did this for 8 months, and we had the sale, and last weekend, a couple weeks ago, Dana contacted me, and last weekend I got to go paint again.
Cool.
And it was because she got a request from someone else who had already missed out on one of the bowls that I had done before, and requested me and a couple other painters to create bowls for them. So it's
miniature money is the best.
It's just one of those things. That's amazing. It's somebody wanted my artwork. It didn't matter what it was. It's just that I do another piece.
Yeah.
I was like, yay. That's right. So I'm going to be working with her more, and we're hoping that the city will give her a grant that she's working on to continue with what we were nicknaming the Gather Make Shelter Academy, where we'll have potters and painters connect together one-on-one to do 10 pieces of art, and then they'll go to sale again. But this time, the artists will actually make the profit off that, and part of the profit will go to the Gather Make Shelter.
Cool.
So it would be nice if that can come together. It will be really awesome. But other than that, I'm just trying to get on my own social media and keep my WordPress updated with my poetry and sell my own artwork. Pika still has the Abigail DeVille show up until it goes down. I have artwork there. And other than that has to do with the Street Root zine, though. It was part of a whole compilation. So there's a bunch of beautiful artwork by everyone in the zine in that show right now.
I saw the zine. It was really awesome. I'll have to go and see the show. I, too, was an artist. It's one of the cool things that happened to me since I've been up in Portland. It kind of blew up in my face, but I was doing textile art more than anything. So it's like I learned a new hobby or a new craft more than anything else.
Okay, what do you mean that blew up in your face?
I was kind of getting famous and having people giving me commissions, and it was getting ready for an art show, and I had, while I was on the streets, yet another major life event happened, and it just kind of, everything in my life spiraled out of control, including that, to where I couldn't work, and the person that I was working with, and I started having problems in our working relationship, and so, because I was having to use the sewing machine, I was using hers, so I just had to take care of stuff, and I'm okay now. It was a great learning experience or whatnot, and I'm glad that I had it.
I can actually relate to that, because even with this, the podcast right here, I have been, since I've been writing with Street Roots and for Street Roots, I have been in a lot of things. I've been at the museum. I have had a piece of work there in the object stories, One Step Away. I've done, in working with that, I worked with Outside the Frame and Neely and her group of awesome young people.
Yes, they're awesome.
So I've worked with them. I work on the zine editorial committee for the last couple years. I've gone to multiple functions and events for Street Roots and representing Street Roots. I've done advocacy, and all of it, especially around my own work, my own pieces, because I just finished a commission piece for Mickey Jordan for her production From These Streets I Rise, and it's the drawing for the poster and stuff. So that's there's a lot of anxiety and fear around all this, all the good that starts happening. And I know for me personally why. It's because I never had a lot of praise growing up. I didn't receive a lot of that you did good, great, that's good, you can keep doing good. No, there was nothing like that. So I have personally been scared to death of all of this. Somebody said, oh, you're a celebrity. And it's like, oh my God, please do not call me a celebrity. Do not. I'm a human being.
Yeah.
I'm a human being with feelings, with emotions. And that's what you get when it comes out on the page or in a painting. That's what you're receiving. You are getting a piece of that artist in one way or another. And good, bad, indifferent, there it is.
It's kind of like walking a high wire, just in your normal everyday life, but has that level of pizzazz or what not going on with it.
Oh my God, am I going to fall? Am I going to crash? Are they going to like me? Are they going to hate me? You know, you go through all those things, and then you finally get to a small point where you go, I can't think about it this way. I really can't think about it this way. Otherwise, I am going to self-sabotage myself. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I just got myself breathing again and said, okay, because I took a big stop in writing. I just didn't even put a date on the page. And I'm going, okay, this is bad for me. I need to do what my psychiatrist said and at least put the date on the page, even if I do a stupid smiley face or anything else like that. It's healthy. It'll at least get me healing. It's just the healing process.
Yeah. I like how you said it's part of the healing process. I find it very healing for me too, that sometimes it might be a little scribble on a page, or sometimes it might be words, but sometimes it just has to get out on the page.
I had one that did that the other morning, and it was the first thing I've written in a while.
Do you have another poem to share with us?
Actually, I can share that one with you, because I've actually just turned it into, emailed it to Street Roots yesterday. It probably won't get seen till Monday, so you get it here first.
Cool.
It's called Tanj, and it's T-A-N-J. It's my day to say, what the frell? Society, where did we go wrong? When did we allow community to break down? Why do we fear our city protectors? We elected the governing officials, how they disguise criminalizing lives while cheating, thieving, draining resources, orchestrating separation with classes formed, boundaries are created through economic oppression, by way of excluding anyone who does not meet the criteria set by those placed in authority, giving them the means to be exclusionary. It's my bleeding right to yell. As sciatics nauseate system structures, the organic machine screams in agony as priority functions are blocked due to shutdowns designed to protect the machine. Many mornings I cry as the sunrise I watch climbs around Mount Hood, reminding me I am thankful for a comforter on the floor, a propane heater to warm our room, healthy foods to eat, and doctors who treat with compassion and grace. With my heart and mind torn around the geopolitics surrounding advocacy, it makes me vehement when atrocities are allowed in the name of the law. I am a criminal for being homeless, and as my husband once said, Tanj, there ain't no justice. He's right, especially when you have no stable financial resources.
Wow. So it looks like we're kind of coming to the end of this. Do you have Anything you wish to add or some of your contact information?
Yes, if anybody is interested in any of my artwork, they can find links on my WordPress, which is iDesigns, which is AIDESIGNS2074. That's WordPress, that's Tumblr, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and I'm even on Pinterest. And the majority of these are because my family wanted me there. But it also keeps everybody. It gives me an outlet. I use the WordPress. I need to get better about it. I'm horrible about keeping things updated. So I ask people to bear with me. I'm not a big social media person. I try.
I know. It's kind of hard with social media, what it is nowadays. Double-edged sword.
Yes, it is.
This has been Street Roots Poetry Spotlight. This has been Jason Kirk with Eileen McPherson. Thank you and have a good evening. Stay warm, stay dry, stay blessed. Thank you.